folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Hey, Petra, I heard you said something that I know you didn't say. Let's get into this whole topic around people using AI to pretend like they're talking to us. What do you think about this?
I think it happened to both of us multiple times now that people have been cloning us. If the people that are just listening, I did this finger movement and say like, they're cloning, air quotes. They're not really cloning us. But based on podcast transcripts that have been published, on talks that we gave, so people continue to play with the data and build whatever chatbots based on it, that they then ask for advice, which has the headline, what would Petra say or what would Teresa say? And I tried several of these projects. First of all, it always feels a bit cringe, or I have to admit, I feel abused sometimes. It really creates this notion of somebody has taken some of the information that I put out there in public without my consent, put it out of context, and is building a product based on it. So that already creates a bit of a, really like an abused kind of feeling, bitter aftertaste at least. And then the tools are oftentimes so poorly designed. That's a totally other topic that we could double tap in. Why are people using AI for all the wrong things, basically? Quality is not good. So the most basic things that one would do when designing such a tool obviously has not been done. And as I tried them, they always give out bad advice. So they're not giving the advice that is even close to what I advise people would advise people to do. Yeah. And it just always leaves me puzzled and confused. And yeah, it's to some extent the times we live in. To some extent, I love the idea that people are playing with data and create out in the open and put stuff out there and allow others to test it. But on the other hand, yeah, it really has this bitter aftertaste. What about you? Do you like them? Have you seen one of you that comes close to what you would tell people to do?
Yeah, this is a hard topic. So my first experience with this was the company Delphi. They make, if people are familiar with Lenny's Bot is built on the Delphi platform. And because they partnered with Lenny, they offered a bot to everybody who had been a guest on Lenny's podcast. Mm-hmm. And so there's a Teresa bot on the Delphi platform. I never released it to the public. And it's because there's a big difference between Lenny bot and Teresa bot. Lenny bot doesn't tell you what Lenny thinks. Lenny bot tells you what people on Lenny's podcast have said in the past. It's like an amalgamation of a whole bunch of people's thoughts. So it's not like when you use it, you think Lenny says. Mm. But when people use TeresaBot, they think that like I am actually saying that. And so I tested it with my community and I let a handful of people try it out. And I can see the whole conversations, which by the way is not transparent to people. So if you use it, if you've used tools like this, the person behind it can see the whole conversation. And I saw it give advice that I would never give. And I was like, okay, this is a problem. Like it uses my voice. You can literally call Teresa bot. It uses my voice.
So they even voice
pretends like
you?
It's me. It's not me. It's not me. It's not giving the answers that I would give.
I didn't know about the voice cloning.
Yeah. And I never used it publicly because it's different. Like people treat it like they're asking me questions and it's not what I would answer. And then a lot of people do this with like interview synthesis. They'll put into ChatGPT, act like you're Teresa and synthesize this interview for me. And they think it's amazing, but that is not how I would synthesize your interview. And what's hard about this, I love that people are trying and like obviously rewrite content to try to teach and share these ideas.
Yeah, I know.
But I think what's hard about this is when you don't develop expertise in these areas, you can't tell that it's not good.
Yeah. And that's one of the other episodes. Yeah, we already discussed that point.
Like mediocre all these mediocre responses get attributed to our brand. And that's a one, I hate that. Like, I don't want mediocre anything associated with my brand. And then there's this competitive concern of like, I'm building some of these tools and like, I have to create ways for you to try my tools for free so that you can see the difference. Yeah. But it's not free for me to offer these tools to you. So now it's costing me money to try to differentiate from fake Teresa, which all of this is absurd.
Yeah, all of this. And there is a timely component as well, because I don't even recall when I was on Lenny's podcast. It might have been 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago. So even if the tool would be good to pulling out core ideas from the interview and the transcript, and not even that is given, by the way, for most of the tools that I saw and tried. Still, the advice that I have given 2.5 years ago, maybe not the advice, or most likely not the advice that I would be giving today. And then all my coaching advice, I usually try to avoid giving too much advice in coaching. I really focus on the person's problem and that they gain clarity around their problem and basically try solve the problems on themselves. So I try to only give advice every once in a while when it really provides a shortcut to them. But then still there is so much context that I need to know to understand what type of advice I would give to this person in the given situation. And no AI tool has that much content yet. Not even I succeed in building PetraBot with all the data that I have sitting on my hard drives, right? Because it requires so much context engineering, and I don't have the time to do so much context engineering right now. And you would even have to have a much better input structured. The prompts would need to be structured in a certain way if I put that out there. So yeah, and now random people build random tools based on random podcast episodes from 2.5 years ago. It's wild.
I think here's the challenge. Even if you did do all that work and you put something out there, you're competing with fake Petra.
Yeah, I know.
People can still just go to ChatGPT and say, act like Petra. And so like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spend the time to build that because I know I can't sell it. And it costs inference costs. So it's going to cost me money to run it. And like, people won't pay for it. I know they won't pay for it because they can go get it for free or on their $20 ChatGPT subscription.
They don't get it for free. They think they get it for free.
Yeah. And so what's hard about this is like, I do want to encourage people to use these tools and to like experiment and to try things and to learn. But it creates this tension. So if there's writers that you admire, if there's creators that are creating helpful content, if you can just go to ChatGPT and have ChatGPT tell you those people's ideas and act like those people, how do those people make a living?
Yeah.
I don't know that we have an answer to this. But I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets a lot better. And so I think maybe the answer is people need to understand this. Like, consumers need to understand that, like, yeah, maybe it's okay to go try and say it synthesize this interview like Teresa, but also find a way to support Teresa.
Yeah.
Right? Like, otherwise there's
that
not,
would be amazing.
Otherwise there's not going to be more content from Teresa.
Then at some point we would stop to think about things. And that's, so you're not only paying for our content, what you paying us for is basically that we constantly learn and evolve and reflect and think a lot of things through that you maybe don't have the time for. We have bigger context, usually more people that we talk to. And that's another thing that people usually are paying us for. The content is only kind of, the user interface through which the people interact with what we've done there. So yeah, I don't know. Hopefully there will be monetization ideas as well at some point.
I don't want this to just be like a whiny session of like, pay Teresa and Petra for things. I think like the reality is almost everybody.
People do, by the way, people do
this. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the reality is that like a lot of products are facing this, like a lot of little tools. Why would I buy your tool? I can build it myself in 2 seconds. I think part of this is just the nature of change in a changing landscape. I think I really love it when people experiment and they try things and they push the boundaries of what's possible with LLMs. And I really I have so much free content. And if you want to stick that free content into an LLM, that's amazing. I think what crosses the line for me, when you do that, it's not me. It's not the same quality you're going to get from me. You got to be aware of that.
Yeah.
I think when you take my book and you put my book into an LLM because you found a pirated PDF, now you're crossing an IP line. I don't like it when you do that. Yeah. My book is $10. You can spend $10 on the book. I think also, like, we have to find a way to show, and I like, maybe this is on us, but we have to find a way to show that, like, average inputs into an LLM get you average outputs. And that's not the same as what you get from humans, and it's not the same as what you get from expert crafted AI tools.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of it, I think common sense should still apply. So before people are creating any of those tools, think about if it's morally and ethically fine to do so. Because, for example, on Instagram right now, there are so many videos of dead people basically giving interviews or giving a talk or a speech or something like that. And I find it super cringe. It's not okay to clone Marilyn Monroe and let her do whatever, whatever. It's just not okay. Just don't do these things. And not, it's technically possible, but as it has been the last 1 million years, just because it's technically possible, it's still not okay to do it. So maybe we can apply a bit more common sense again.
I think that last piece makes me think about this from another angle. And I think that it's a little bit dehumanizing, right? Like, I feel this way sometimes when I go to conferences. Like, a lot of people, you can probably get this too, like, they talk to you, but they're not talking to you. They've put you on a pedestal.
Yeah.
They're awkward. They don't see you as a person. They see you as an author. They see you as a speaker. To me, it's very weird. Like, I just want to be a person and we're interacting. There's a little bit of this.
Both, like, you and I spend a lot of effort in that people know that usually that we are approachable.
Yeah.
That we have a sense of humor, that we are human beings. Yeah.
And I think that, like, maybe when people put this stuff into LLMs, it exacerbates that. Teresa's not a person. She's a collection of ideas. Petra is not a person. She's principles. A collection of ideas. Mm. And I want to unlock that skill in ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And I guess I would just want to encourage people, whether it's our work or anybody's work or your Marilyn Monroe example, like, remember there's real people behind this.
Yeah. Or have been in Marilyn's case.
Yeah. And I don't want people to hear this and say, like, oh, I can't ask ChatGPT to do something from Teresa's perspective. I actually think it's fine for people to do that. Just don't equate it as you asked me to do it.
Yeah, because it's not the same quality.
That's the difference.
Yeah, that's where it crosses the line.
And then I also want to share that I think this is an old idea. So you've probably been in this experience where you spoke at a conference. They paid you a fee. Your agreement was, I'm going to come to your event. I'm going to speak at your conference. What they didn't tell you was they were going to record your talk, package it, and sell it as a subscription. Mm-hmm. And this has happened to us a number of times. We're like, we didn't agree to that. You don't get to sell my IP. And now, like, I put in all my speaker agreements, you can't do that. Or you're going to pay me more.
Extra, I have that as well. You can pay me for that, but it's not.
Yeah. And so I think.
I can rip it off.
I think that we have lots of examples where people, authors, speakers, share their knowledge, and the venue in which they're sharing it, they don't recognize, they don't own it. Like, it's literally in our agreements, you don't own my IP. And so I think some of this is people just don't think about it from that person's point of view. And they think about it as, like, we curated this conference. This is my content. I'm going to turn around and sell it.
Yeah, and Lenny published all his transcripts. So what's the point, Teresa? He published all of them. So why should I not use them and build something upon it?
So what inspired this conversation is that Lenny recently open sourced all of his podcast transcripts. In a lot of ways, I think this is very admirable and just contributed a lot to the community.
Yeah.
And in other ways, I wish he had asked his guests if they were okay with that. He's not selling them, so it feels a little bit better than this conference example, right? If he had asked me, I would have said yes, just to be clear.
I would have most said likely absolutely. Would have said yes as well. Yeah.
But it's a little bit of whose IP is that? And I can tell you a lot of podcasts have agreements where it's defined in the contract whose IP it was. And I don't go on a podcast where they say they own my IP of what I shared on the podcast.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't have that equivalent with LLMs. Like, I have no control over what you put in an LLM. I can't even keep you from putting my book in an LLM. So it's hard. Like, I don't know what the answers are. I definitely don't. I mean, my long-term goal is literally to open source everything I've ever done in my work. Like, before I die, I will make everything I offer, if I ever created in the world, free. Like, I'm a big fan of free. But at the same time, I have to make a living.
Yeah.
Right? And so do you.
At least for the time being.
Yeah. So there's this, like, weird phase we're in where we have new tools that allow people to just take people's IP, and they seem to think it's okay. And I don't know. My last thought on this will be, if there's people's work that is influencing you, make sure you find a way to support those people in whatever form that is.
That's great last and final words for this episode. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks, Petra. Hopefully people don't think we just ranted, but it was a messy, meaty conversation.
The angry old ladies. Why not? Every once in a while.